2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord. To Luke chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink'? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the word of the Lord.
My aim of my sermon tonight was to think about what it means to rely on God's power. So we've got two very interesting readings here tonight. Paul is writing to Timothy from prison. And I don't know if anybody here has visited people in prison. They may have been, or may even have been in prison themselves, I don't know. But we do know about the Sudanese pastors who are in prison, and we've heard something of them a lot recently, and we know that now at the moment they're able to mix with other prisoners. But being in prison is not at all easy. And Paul's writing about power. Not the power that comes from those who wish to be seen to be powerful in their own right, but he's writing about what God's power means. And he makes it very clear in 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 8, that he's suffering from being true to the gospel. And it is, I think, that is something for us in the left Western world that we find quite difficult, to suffer for being true to the gospel, because everybody, you know, it's fairly easygoing, and we have freedom of speech. And many of us, though not by no means not everybody, of course, have a place to live. We have enough to eat and enough to clothe ourselves. So suffering can sometimes be hard to understand, though I know from looking at all those of us who are here tonight that many of us have suffered in many different kinds of ways. From what we read in Timothy, it appears if he was experiencing quite a difficult time at that time in his life. And Paul is reminding him that he has God-given gifts, that he has a God-given ministry amongst the people he's working with. He's encouraging him to fan into flame the gift of God. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Oh. Do you know what fanning into flame means? Not really. Has your daddy ever lit a bonfire? Have you ever seen? No. You had a barbecue. And if it goes down, if the flames go down a bit, do you know what you can sometimes do, what daddy might do, is get a thing like this. Have you ever seen him do that? You just blow it. Fair enough. Right, I've been really... well done. Thank you. That's absolutely... So blowing it is fanning it into flame, and then it begins to come up, does it? So that's what fanning the flame means. Okay? Did you get that as well, Matthew? Thank you. That's really good. So, we're encouraged to fan into flame, just like... that he blows it to make it go, fan into flame the gift of God. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So Paul is encouraging Timothy not to be timid about exercising his gifts. I wonder how many of us feel a little bit reticent sometimes about exercising the gifts that we've given, if we even recognize them. But in these verses, it appears that Timothy is not in danger of enjoying God's gifts too much. He's in danger of rather the reverse, of saying, I don't know if I want these gifts, it might mean I'm going to do too much. He was facing opposition and intimidation, and that was making him falter. And we can sometimes allow others to intimidate us, and intimidate means we can feel frightened because people are being horrid to us. We don't like what they're doing or saying to us. And then it can neutralize the way in which God, through his grace, can actually work through us. And God actually loves exercising his power through our Christian ministry. But his power is never mere power, because God's power is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. It's the power of love, and it's exercised through self-control. So Paul is reminding us that in suffering for the gospel, we rely on God's power. Paul is in prison, so it does not mean that the suffering will be avoided by those who are exercising their Christian calling. When we are at the end of our own resources, then God's power works through us. And it's that truth that we all need to lay hold of as we experience his grace, his undeserved blessing freely bestowed on us. As Paul tells the Christians in Corinth, God is faithful and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. So God's power will sustain us to the end. In verse 12 in Timothy 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Tom Wright puts it this way: Paul's appeal to God's power generates self-giving love and self-forgetful trust. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to persevere, even when things are not going well, to persevere. He needs the courage and the self-discipline to hang on to those truths and use the gifts which God had given to us. Now, as we consider what it means to actually suffer for the gospel, we may respond to our readings this morning in the same words that we heard at the beginning of our reading from St. Luke. I don't know if any of you can remember. The apostle said to the Lord... anybody remember? increase our faith. Well done. You have read it before, so you know, okay. So those opening words in St. Luke's Gospel were, increase our faith. And Jesus replied with those very familiar words, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, who knows how big a mustard seed is? Has anybody ever seen? Have you seen a mustard seed? Do you know how big it is? Oh, anybody else know how big a... Tony? Oh, yes, I can hardly see it when Tony's doing it like that. A mustard seed is very, very small. It's like, yes, I mean, if we look at one of the seeds in one of the flowers, as you go out, you'll see some tiny little seeds in the middle, and they're very, very small mustard seeds. So it's so, so small. And you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So one of the important lessons of our Christian living is that we don't need great faith, we need faith in a great God. Now, I understand that the word translated mulberry tree probably referred to the sycamore tree. And as we know, sycamore trees are very big, with very big, deep roots. And the important factor here is the extraordinary power of God, which is invoked even by the smallest amount of faith. So even a little grain of mustard seed like that, if you've got the faith of God and you say to the mulberry tree or a sycamore tree, do you know what a sycamore tree looks like? Yeah, well done. Oh, that's great. I wonder if everybody, I won't ask anybody else, you've answered correctly. Well done. So a huge, big sycamore tree, it would go into the sea. It's amazing. Amazing parable. But I wonder what this means to you and to me today. How do we understand faith? In today's reading, the words, Lord, increase our faith, come at a time when things were beginning to get pretty tough for Jesus and those who followed him. They were beginning to wonder just where Jesus was going to lead them, what was going to happen. Jesus was attracting a lot of critical attention from the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They didn't like what he was doing, and life was getting extremely difficult for him. So faith, having faith, is not signing up to a set of beliefs or propositions. Faith for the Christian is trust in God, trust in Christ. It is a complete and humble obedience to God's will. It's not something we use to put on a show for others. It's a willingness and a readiness to do whatever he calls us to do. The amount of faith we have is not as important as the right kind of faith. Faith in our all-powerful God. So when Jesus in John's Gospel says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. That is what he's getting at. He's challenging his hearers to say, trust me. We learn that he loves us, and so we trust him. It's not the other way around. And that is why the way our faith grows, i.e. gets stronger, it's not by struggling to master the mysteries of the faith, but by absorbing ourselves in the love and the generosity of our God. And we can celebrate that at harvest at the moment, the love and the generosity of our God. Our service to and for God is done by gratitude, not to earn anything. So God is offering to us the gift of faith, something wonderful, an opportunity to be accepted by him in a new way. He'll help us to receive that gift, to continue to receive it if we really want to, however wobbly we may feel about doing so. And if we do this, it will be for us a life-changing moment. John Wright describes faith like this. It's not great faith we need, it is faith in a great God. Faith is like a window through which you can see something. What matters is not whether the window is 6 inches or 6 feet high. What matters is that the God that your faith is looking out on, the tiniest peephole of a window, will give you access to power like you never dreamed of. So if I go near Peter, I can put my thing And I can see Peter. Hi there. I can see Peter through a very, very small hole. But if I have a big window here, I can see him. But I can see him. Well, no, I can see him just as well. Like that, smiling. So it's very important to realise that however small the window of faith is, we have access to power that we never dreamed of. So as we have come to God, as we've celebrated today, Harvest Sunday, to give thanks for all his provisions for us, particularly we're thinking of the provision of food, and just look how much has been collected. It's totally amazing. For the seed time, the harvest time, let's not forget his gift of faith to us, to each one of us. A gift that if we use it in the way God wants us to, we will be enabled to allow others to come to know Jesus as their Saviour and their Lord, as we fulfil God's purposes for our life, as we allow his power to work through us so that other people may come to know him and to serve him and to love him and to have faith in him. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray, Father, that you will speak to each one of us tonight, whatever you would say to us. We thank you for all your good gifts to us. And we thank you most of all, Father, for the gift of faith and the gift of trust, even as small as a mustard seed. That, Father, we have that in you. You can work through us to your honour and to your glory. Amen.